Hello and welcome to the Hillside Ventures podcast. I'm your host this semester. My name is Eliyahu Cohen. And today we're going to do an episode about the vertical leads. And they're going to tell you a little bit about, you know, their majors, their first deal, and just a little bit about the vertical, just so you can know more for next semester and semesters to come. We have four guests joining us, starting with, feel free to say your name.
Yeah, Khalil Thomas. I'm the Human Development Vertical Lead.
My name is Zeynep Ajun. I'm the Sustainability Vertical Lead.
Hi, I'm Devin Devaney. I am the Financial Innovation Vertical Lead.
Hi, everyone. I'm Riley, and I'm the Sports and Wellness Vertical Lead.
Perfect. So we have all four different leads. We have Human Development, Financial Innovation, Sustainability, and finally Sports and Wellness. Just to kind of get things started, Khalil, you know, just let us know name, hometown, your major, when did you come to UConn, and then we'll just go around in a circle.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I'm from Canton, Connecticut, which is right by Central, like the Hartford area. I'm a finance major with a minor in real estate. Came to UConn 2023, so I'm a junior now, but this is my third semester in Hillside. Yeah, I think I hit on all those right there.
Perfect. Okay, I am originally from Ankara in Turkey, but I live in Connecticut, and I am a political science and German studies double major. And this is my second semester in Hillside. And I came to UConn in 2022, so I'm a senior, but I'm graduating this semester.
Yeah, so I'm from a small town, Winchester, Connecticut. This is my second semester with Hillside Ventures. I originally started at a small community college, and I transferred here to UConn about 2 years ago now.
And yeah, hi everyone, I'm Riley again. I'm from Monroe, Connecticut. Currently my third year at UConn. I am actually graduating in 3 years. I'm an accounting major. And this is my second semester in Hillside Ventures.
Yeah, so just to kind of pick up on that, Zeynep, you said something really interesting about how you're a political science major and also German studies. You know, what brought you into Hillside? And then, you know, straight from there, segue into what is sustainability? One or two sentences, just let us know.
Yeah, so there's a lot of lore to this story, actually. I originally wanted to be a diplomat when I chose being a political science major, which is also the reason for picking up the language. And I guess a good bit into my degree, I realized that I no longer wanted to be a diplomat and started to explore different career ventures. And I was taking an oil politics class at the time, and that sparked my interest for sustainability. And at the time, I was also working at the Career Center. And a good friend of mine, it was in the fund at the time, and she told me to apply to Hillside. And I looked into it. I saw that there was a sustainability vertical, so I did. I applied, and that was kind of my gateway into Hillside and into sustainability, not because I knew so much about venture capital, like you said, with my unconventional background,
yeah.
But, you know, because I wanted to do something that was related to sustainability and a little different from what I had been exploring beforehand. But in terms of what sustainability as a vertical does now, and what my vision is for as being the lead this semester, is really to drive my analysts to be looking into the companies in the sustainability space that are driving the most innovation and progress towards mitigating and adapting to the climate crisis right now. Mm-hmm. And we're investing under three sub-verticals, those being clean tech, which is huge right now, really driving the majority of the industry, sustainable materials, and sustainable food and agriculture.
Definitely. Just kind of going down the line, Devin, I'd like to hear about financial innovation, kind of, you know, one to two sentences, you know, all the verticals and so on.
No, yeah, of course. So the financial innovation vertical, our focus really is on the financial technology industry. We're really broken out into two different sub-verticals. We have financial services and financial institutions. Financial services, we're really just focusing on consumer-facing products, whether that be a payments platform, just stuff like that. And then on the institutional side, we're focusing more on infrastructure developments and technology, whether that be for businesses or financial institutions, more specifically within the blockchain, and then also just AI vertical integrations and AI agents to streamline some back office workflows.
Got you. What's like a good example of, you know, like an AI product you've seen in your time, or some kind of like infrastructure, or really just any kind of projects that, just to give some more clarity and more color on what even is financial innovation?
Yeah, so one of my first ever deals that I brought to our vertical, it was called Dwellfi. They made AI agents to streamline work backflows in a financial institution, whether that be private equity investors, venture capital funds, really just making the capital calls and investor relations work more streamlined within the back offices of those respective firms. And that's kind of like an idea of what goes on. Mm-hmm. They're really looking to take monotonous work and make it a lot more efficient, and hopefully you have.
And how did that go? How did it go with Dwellfi?
Yeah, so it was great. You know, everyone loved it, but A16Z came in to lead the round, and mm-hmm. they set terms that $150,000 check was going to be the minimum. Given that we're only at $25,000 check size, we kind of had to back out, but it was a great process overall.
A16Z is a huge investor. They're really great, especially in the, you know, innovation tech space. Definitely. So Riley, what do you have to say about sports and wellness, your vertical, and some projects that you've worked on?
Yeah, I'd love to add some context to it. Sports and wellness, you know, kind of encompasses a very wide net of products. I'll break it down into two different sub-verticals for you. So we have our sports tech sub-vertical, and then also our health and wellness sub-vertical. Sports tech really goes more towards like athletics at really any level, all the way from professional to high school, even middle school athletics. Products that helps athletes perform better, recover better, optimize their training, everything like that. And on the other side, the health and wellness vertical is more for your regular everyday people who are trying to, you know, be healthier, be well, whether that's mentally or physically. You know, these are really more products that help people, you know, stay healthy and stay nutritious and work out every day and sleep better, things of that nature. So that's kind of a brief overview of the two sub-verticals in our vertical.
And what brought you to sports and wellness? Was it something in the past? Were you just passionate about it?
Well, I've been an athlete my whole life. I've been a competitive swimmer my whole life. I also love to play basketball. And so for me, it just felt natural. I've always loved sports, always competed in sports. And so, you know, it was always a passion of mine. So I thought combining that with my passion for business would be a good fit.
And how would you say that fits into the culture here at UConn, you know, being the basketball capital of the world, being a part of the University of Connecticut? How does that make you feel?
Well, it's huge. Yeah, it's a huge value add for all of our portfolio companies and all the companies that want to work with us. I mean, when we send an email out to a founder and they're in the sports space or in the wellness mm-hmm. space and they see UConn, obviously UConn is attached with a sports, you know, it's a sports university. We're known for basketball. So for companies to be able to work and gain an investment and say, oh yeah, UConn is invested on us around that branding, that imagery is really a value add for them, and how we can provide a little bit more than just capital to our companies that we work with.
Definitely, definitely. And how would you say, I mean, you mentioned that you're studying accounting and that you're finishing it up pretty early, right? You're finishing it in 3 years. Mm-hmm. What was that process like, especially balancing a lot of things with something like Hillside? Hillside's very time consuming. You're taking more credits, I'm assuming. How was that whole balance?
I mean, it was a lot. I mean, I want to preface, I brought a lot of credits in from high school, so that, mm-hmm. that played a big role, as well as taking like winter and summer courses. But really, I manage my time well. I work hard, and I think that those three things really made it possible.
Okay, definitely. And now I'm going to pass the mic on to Khalil, our human development lead. Just, you know, say a few words and your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. So the human development vertical is in kind of a really cool place right now, just because we had a different transition from last semester. Or a few semesters ago from ed tech into the human development space. And it really allowed us to cover a wide variety of, you know, companies and target a bunch of different issues. And I think that alone has completely changed sort of not only my mindset, but also you see analysts who are looking to look at these extremely unique and individualized companies. And kind of our focus right now, we've seen kind of two spaces that have really been exciting. We always want to stay kind of to our roots of ed tech, so that's never going to go away. But I think we've really been looking at neurodivergent technologies, as well as just general mental health technologies. You see the world becoming more conscious about what mental health and finding out ways to help people go from day to day to being their best, feeling their best, but also kind of thinking their best. And that's been something that I think this semester has changed from the first two semesters I was in Hillside. less of a focus on improving education, but more overall improving mental health for people. And you can kind of see a little bit of a cross between our vertical and sports and wellness as well, just because we end up kind of talking about similar things.
Definitely. You mentioned the importance of mental health and, you know, being active and being strong. Do you see that a lot in your life as well? Do you see that? Is that why you decided to be a part of human development? And I also want to ask about the transition from EdTech to human development. But how do you see this affecting your life from the perspective of, you know, living day to day, and also from an educational perspective, learning about these different companies, learning about these companies that do innovative things in the health sector? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think those are great questions. And I think it kind of really starts with talking about the kind of person I am. And I think being an athlete for my whole life and still really caring about, you know, health and fitness, working out every day, you know, staying physically fit, I think was really important. But for a long time, you kind of saw that, I think overall, I ignored my own mental health. And I think that coming in, I was really, I even wanted to be in the sports, at that time, the sports tech vertical, but I got challenged to be in something that was new and forced me to learn about something outside my comfort zone, and consequently allowed me to be able to take care of myself a lot better and see kind of the importance that there's a true connection between your physical health as well as your mental health, and you can't have one without the other. So I think that alone has been rewarding on top of the people that I've met. But moving into kind of talking about that transition, you saw that from my first semester, we were really, like I said, an ed tech only. That was all we talked about. But we kind of saw that there wasn't a lot of individuality. You saw coming out of COVID, a lot of companies ended up being copy and paste of different uses of AI, different to target the same issues. But this transition allowed us to see a lot more individualization in the sense that now we're talking about companies that are targeting Alzheimer's, companies that are targeting like children's mental health issues, children's behavioral issues, and it really just allows us to target way more issues rather than just how to improve education.
Definitely. And going straight into that, you know, from your first semester and from now, what are like two different deals that you've, you know, experienced that you've seen that, okay, this is really aligned with our vertical? And then also the process of those deals, you know, what was it like doing your first founder call, quick screen, one pager, and so on?
Yeah. So I think for me, it was such an exciting time because I came in as a freshman, my freshman spring, and my first founder call, I remember my hands were sweaty. I was so nervous, and I was doing it with my vertical lead, Jose, at the time. And I was always so excited that I was tripping over my words, and it was actually with this company called, I'm completely forgetting the name of the company now. There was two, but I had my two in the first day, and one of them was High Five as well. And that was before I actually met with High Five my first semester before we got to meet them in person at an EdTech conference. And he made me feel extremely comfortable because you could tell that he not only cared about kind of the children's aspect of it and helping children sort of deal with their behavioral issues, but he also really cared about impacting the world in a positive way. And I remember I prepped for hours trying to figure out how to make sure I targeted the right questions. And kind of the difference between now and then is like now it feels like it's second nature, but at the time I was extremely, extremely like I was lost at the time.
And just going into that moment, I mean that's stressful stuff. Really going into your first founder call. What was it like once you were on the founder call? You were in it. You were in the mud of it. How did you overcome that hurdle? So now today, you know, you're comfortable. Now today, you feel confident. What was that like in those first, you know, few ones? You know, really getting comfortable in that sense, and then finally, you know, get over that hump.
Yeah, I think the main thing is that because Hillside is such a unique opportunity that you are the investor as a student. And I think as the founder call went on, you could tell that not only was I nervous, but their nervousness made me less nervous because they were like, we have the decision. It's really on our end to decide whether we're going to continue with the diligence process. And because you're in kind of that position where it's like really your decision and how you want to go about it, it makes you less nervous and it makes you be able to focus on the facts of it. And when I got into that founder call, after the first 5 minutes, once you realize they're just a person too, it made you feel a ton, like all the nerves went away. And after that, you feel like you can talk to anyone.
Amazing. Yeah. Now shifting it towards sustainability and Zainab, I'd like to hear about, you know, your first deal. What was it like going into that founder call? And also more, I like to hear a lot more about the due diligence process, actually writing up the one page or doing all the words for it, and, you know, going online, understanding more about the industry, doing your TAM, doing your SAM, doing all that stuff. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, sure. So I can walk you through, I guess, my first deal and my most recent deal, also to give you a little bit of a paint a picture of progression. So my first deal ever was for a company called Flower Turbines, and it was a wind turbine company, and usually wind turbines are on a horizontal axis. They're the big wind farms that you usually see. These were vertical wind turbines, and they're shaped like flowers. And on paper, it was a super cute company. It was super fun. Fit into the investment thesis, you know, checked all the boxes on paper. And I had the founder call, and similar to Khalil's experience, I was very nervous getting on the call. Thankfully, I had support from some of my other co-analysts, but, you know, still very nervous. And then I take the call, and I do the quick screen, and I present it to the vertical. And when I'm presenting it to the vertical, I realize that I know absolutely nothing about this company. To which then people start asking you questions, and you get a little bit of a sense in the back of your head that, you know, you've really dropped the ball, and, you know, everyone's going to think differently about you, and you as a new analyst have completely ruined your reputation forward, you know, because you made a mistake or you didn't do enough diligence. And, you know, from that experience and moving through my first semester and now into my second semester leading the vertical, I just recently had a deal that went to investment memo, presented it to the investment board. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, did not pass. But to your point about the diligence process, I learned what it really takes to know a company in and out and to know it well enough to be able to present it to the investment board. And honestly, you never really know the company well enough. They're always going to ask you questions that you don't expect, but that's a part of the process. And I think the more that you do it, the more, like Khalil was saying, it becomes second nature in that regard. You just have to keep trying, keep doing it, and if they say no, they say no. You just do it again.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's one of the most beautiful things about Hillside, in my opinion, is these board meetings where we think, you know, we think we're all prepared, we think we're good, we do a lot of, you know, work, especially for these memorandums, which is, it's like a 25-page document. And then you go into this board meeting, and they find a way to just tear it up. They really do. They really are just higher level. They've been around for so long, and they're here helping students. And it's something that's really eye-opening. It really shows that, yeah, you know, you got a lot to learn, and you have to keep your mind open. Kind of building off that, Zainab, you know, now as you're sitting as the vertical lead and you're introducing new analysts, what is that like, your relationship with your new analysts, when you're now the one, you're kind of like the mentor, you're the figure? What is that like?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a learning process for me as well as all of my new analysts. And I'll say that the best way for me to establish and maintain a good relationship with them was to really set my intentions early on and to have a developed idea of who I want to be as a leader moving into the semester, it's interesting, you know, to be talking about this now, because I was recently at a dinner with someone and I asked, how do you motivate other people to be better? And he really said that it starts with your ethos as a leader. So I started off by doing that unintentionally, but now having received that advice, I think to continue to make sure that the relationship is good, that's definitely something that I'm going to be trying to do. But overall, I think it's going great. It's still pretty early. I think we're at the end of week 7, and I've had
halfway, right?
Yeah. I've had a lot of my new analysts working on the memo that I just presented, so that was a fantastic experience for them. And you know, like, I'm having them present their deals and the verticals, and it's overall going well. Everyone's getting along great. Teamwork is good. But yeah,
that's good. That's perfect. I'd like to shift it over to Riley now. Riley is sports and wellness. Just let me know about your first deal. What was that like going through the process? Feel free.
Love to. So my first deal was with this company that was called Red Print Fitness. They were basically, in short, like a company that made these little tags that would go on gym equipment, and you would bring up, you'd bring your phone to it, you tap your phone on the tag, and that would tell you how to do like the exercise and like track your reps and sets and whatnot. And I remember going into the founder call, I was so nervous. I mean, I didn't have much experience like talking with these quote unquote, in my mind, they were professional business people or whatever. Yeah. I'm 20-year-old kid, 19-year-old kid or whatever. But, you know, the more I got into the call, the more I realized, like, this is just another guy, you know, he has an idea. You know, he really loved that I was interested in his company. And so, like, as the call went on, he got more comfortable. I ended up bringing that company to the quick screen. I had a similar experience to Zainab where, like, I was like, this is cool. And when I presented it, all these people were like, what about this issue, and this issue? And I was like, oh, I don't really have a good answer for that. Like, those are great points. We ended up killing that company for a variety of issues. But it was a great learning opportunity to, one, lead a founder call, and two, understand kind of the rough idea of the diligence process. And so it kind of, you know, put things in perspective for me as a new analyst and trying to learn how to source and lead founder calls and develop due diligence skills. So
yeah, and what was your experience? What did it feel like when you were like kind of standing in front of the class, in front of everybody, and you know your heart's beating, your heart's bumping, and you're getting all these questions? What does that feel like? What is like your initial response?
Well, nervousness for sure. I mean, it's not a good feeling, but when you're done with it, you know, you kind of have like a sigh of relief, like, oh, you know, it just feels great. And also, you know, I'll add to that too, like the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. Like I would always say the more reps, the better. Like from the start of the semester to the end of the semester, I got way more comfortable leading founder calls, talking to founders, you know, doing board presentations, talking to the class, everything like that. So I would say reps, like as many, like I try to take advantage as much as possible. So anytime somebody's like, I need help on a deal, I would hop on. Anytime it's like, I have this founder call, I would hop on. So the more I exposed myself to it, the more comfortable I got, and I also just got better as an analyst and a professional.
And how does that feel for you being a leader as well? Like now that you're leading the vertical, seeing other analysts go through those same, you know, troubles, how does that feel to really just, you know, be the guy that they look up to, and being that leader?
Well, I mean, I always push the same things for all my analysts in terms of just like, everything you do in Hillside is initiative. Like if you take the initiative to hop on a founder call, hop on a deal, whatever, like you'll learn the most. Like really Hillside's about inputs and outputs. The more you put in, the more you'll get out. So that's kind of what I encourage to all my analysts, and that's what I did my first semester. So
yeah, inputs and outputs are a really good way to look at it. It really just is, you know, you gotta keep trying and that way you get results. And it's a results driven, you know. I mean, life is results driven, you know, business is results driven, and so is Hillside Venture. This is very real life. This is very experiential learning, they call it. Yeah. But it really is great stuff. So,
yeah.
So. Devin, I got some questions for you.
Fire away.
Amazing. I'd love to hear more kind of about the future of financial innovation and what your plans are for maybe not just this semester, but next semesters and in the future as well.
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. So I guess to give a little more context, you know, last semester we really changed to a thematic approach with all of our verticals. So like Khalil touched on a little bit earlier, previously they were ed tech and now they're human development. Before financial innovation, we strictly focus on insurtech, one of the many verticals within like the financial technology industry. And I guess going forward with looking at our vertical, you know, if we look over the past few years, we've seen different like payment platforms. We've seen different ways that businesses can process payments and stuff like that. Also, just with more recently in the public markets, we've seen a lot with the blockchain and crypto. We've seen a lot of stuff going on there, whether it is a trading platform with it or they're just able to provide infrastructure to a bank that on the blockchain. So I think that's really where we're trying to like go. Look forward to, because within venture capital, you know, where a fund is about, you know, 7 to 10 years. So for us, it's really looking at the current environment and it's like, okay, so we're looking at these companies now. Where do we believe the financial technology sector will be in 7 to 10 years? And I think one of the most unique things about our vertical is that there's a lot more AI integration within this rather than the other verticals. And I just feel like just the way the current, you know, capital markets, how money's flowing to AI so freely, There's a lot of opportunity, but with that, there's a lot of risk since, you know, everyone's so willing to invest in these companies.
And definitely, what does that look like for listeners? So let's say I'm a listener. Yeah. I want to apply to Hillside. Maybe I applied for it a semester before. Mm-hmm. I didn't get an interview. What does that look like for a listener that wants to be in financial innovation? What should they be looking at? What should they be studying? What resources should they be using?
Yeah, so I think the interview process as a whole, it really doesn't really matter what vertical you're targeting. You provide preferences, but I think when you're initially recruiting for Hillside Ventures, there's a few things that we really look for within all the candidates. And the main thing is, like, you need to have initiative. You know, Riley talked about, you know, you get out what you put
inputs,
in.
Inputs, outputs, for sure.
And that, you cannot describe Hillside more, like, any better than that. You know, in my first semester, I sourced around 70 companies. I was able to lead a bunch of deals on my own, and also work on some of my peers' deals. And I learned so much from that, and now I'm able to apply those learning lessons as a vertical lead to all the other new analysts under me. So I really think, just as someone who is interested within Hillside Ventures, understand what venture capital is and the investment thesis behind it, and really just have curiosity. You know, curiosity can bring you very far in your career, and, you know, just lead through it.
Definitely. Expanding on that. So when you look at a prospective Hillside student, what is something tangible that they can go out there and do? We talk about coffee chats. That's mm-hmm. something that they can do. But what is something beyond just interacting with Hillside? Something like, you know, going to a conference or listening to an event or something like that.
Yeah. So I guess, like, we'll start with in UConn specifically. Just be involved in other organizations. You know, there's hundreds of organizations on the campus, you know, not just within the business school, but everywhere. You know, so for examples, like Finance Society, UConn Investment Banking Society, but there's so many more other examples. Those are just a couple that I'm involved in. But then outside of that, professionally, like any internship experience you may have in your respective field, you know, we have a bunch of different majors within Hillside Ventures. You know, we have from the business school majors to liberal arts. So we're just showing initiative that you have curiosity and drive to develop yourself professionally, and that really just displays a great candidate to us.
Definitely. That's a great answer. And I'd like to go to Khalil now and ask him kind of about what's next for human development. You had this big transition from ed tech into human development. What does the next step look like? What are you guys looking to do? What are your goals? Yeah. And so on.
I think the great thing about Hillside, and you've heard Devin and Riley kind of talk about how their verticals have also changed, is that we have the ability to kind of continually change and evolve as time goes on. And I think we're actually exploring maybe another vertical transition into another more general area, just to give the future analysts more room to navigate. But also, I think for us right now, we're really focused on finding quality deals. I mean, that's any of the vertical leads in here are always going to say that. But for us, over the last, you know, 5 years of Hillside, we've seen that early on the diligence levels have only gotten better and better. And I think now we're at a point where we're so contingent on having deals that meet every one of our criteria, or else we're not going to make that investment, because we want to see that these deals are not only are we doing the work for them, but they're going to return for us eventually. You know, I don't think that Hillside is necessarily focused on a monetary aspect, but as a venture capital fund, you're always looking to return in some capacity. So I think right now is we're really looking through every single thing that we're doing and making sure we're hitting all of our P's and Q's and getting really quality companies in front of our investment board and you know, ideally in our portfolio.
Definitely. You talked about getting quality companies. I do remember that there's often an ed tech conference that you guys go to. What is it like, you know, coming there as a student, as kind of running this venture capital arm of the university? What is it like being at such a conference, networking, and trying to look for companies?
At a conference like that, I think it's the best experience in the world. The business school at UConn, I always rave about, because they put us in these positions to succeed. Getting face-to-face conversation with these founders is so incredible, because these relationships last after Hillside. They last after college. I've had founders reach out to me about potential internships at their companies that we never even invested in, at these startups and stuff like that. And these people end up wanting to help students. Like, being a student at the University of Connecticut has become such a talking point where people are starting to see that the talent that comes out of the business school, comes out of Hillside Ventures specifically, is so immense and so deep, I think, that like they see that the not only are we potential investors for them, but maybe in the future we're potential employees or potential business partners, et cetera.
That's such a good point about how this really does last longer than, you know, just your initial time at Hillside. Recently, we had a University of Connecticut alumni come to class about his own venture class, Paperboy Ventures, you know, quick little shout out, that he's starting and operating. And he gave us a whole rundown of what he's doing, a Q&A, and really just a lot of really important information. And that's why I kind of want to do one little wrap up and ask everybody, you know, what's one kind of takeaway that you've gotten from Hillside Ventures and something that, you know, you would love to pass to the next generation, starting with sustainability here?
Oh, geez, this is a loaded question for me. And it goes back to, you know, me having an unconventional background, which I talk about often, but I think it's very important for me to stress, because Hillside has been one of those programs that has given me the opportunity to both use that background, but also build on it in such an unconventional way, where I feel so grateful to have built the skill set that I have, and be able to like deploy it in my internships and in the other professional things that I'm doing. But I also want to kind of instill that appreciation into my new analysts, because you'll get that out of Hillside, mm-hmm. for sure. But it's so important for me to stress that you will get 100% of what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you show that you're adaptable, and if you show that you have grit, regardless of where you're coming from, what you did before, you're really going to get that return on investment, pun intended.
Yeah, and be grateful for it. And to pass that straight back to Khalil about what, you know, what's one piece of advice that you would have for the future generations?
Yeah, I think all of us have really kind of alluded to it, but this is continually one of the best opportunities in the business school. You get face-to-face contact with people who have had successful companies, are starting their own companies, starting their own enterprises. I think that if you're able, this is something you should always push to do. And I think that when you get in here, everything that you do is going to translate into the professional world, and is a really good place for you to hone your skills, hone your professional skills, your soft skills, and as well as diligence. And I think, like I said, I just think it's one of the best things you could possibly do as in your time here at the University of Connecticut.
Amen, amen, amen. Devin, feel free to one piece of advice.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so kind of like echoing what everyone has said already, I attribute a lot of success I've had to this program. I feel like it was an inflection point when I came and transferred to UConn and got in. It really provides you a great foundation to build skill sets off of and then have a good career built off that platform. And you build relationships in this program, great friendships, and then these people are also going to have very successful careers, and you're going to have that network for a lifetime. And people say, like, your net worth is your network. And I really believe that philosophy. And it's just great to have, like, all those people around you and then going forward in life.
Definitely. Very, very high value individuals we're sticking with. And Riley, your closing statements.
Yeah, so I guess to wrap us up here, I would say kind of my biggest takeaway from Hillside is just to force yourself to be uncomfortable. When you are a first analyst, you immediately feel like you're the dumbest one in the room. I think all of us felt that way, and I think we still are probably some of the dumber people when we get on these board meetings or on the calls with these people. And I think surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you and have better experience and who are driven, like Devin mentioned, like the Hillside Network is amazing. I mean, you're building great mm-hmm. friendships with people that really care about school and are really driven. So I would say just forcing yourself to be uncomfortable and taking advantage of opportunities is huge.
Yeah, yeah. And really all of those points really come together and really describe the ethos of Hillside. And that's really important. So that's all we got for today. I'm Eliyahu Cohen. I'm your host for the Hillside Ventures podcast. I hope everyone has a good one. Goodbye.